Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
This is going to get graphic, is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm Beth Morrie, and this is One Torn Every Minute, the podcast where we talk about giving birth. Don't start. Today, I'm joined by the wonderful radio presenter, Emma B. Emma.
Did you notice how I didn't stop you there or say, oh, you're so kind? I just like brushed over that.
Yeah. Just take it and
I'll take it.
Emma, let's take the scalpel straight to your perineum and start by summarising how many times you've given birth and when.
Okay, so I have given birth twice. Once in 2003 to my daughter Edie Bell, and then again in 2008 to my son Billy Ray.
And in this format, I would never ask you to choose your favourite child, but I am asking you to choose your favourite birth, and by which I mean, what's the most gruesome, interesting, what's the one that would go straight into your memoir?
I literally, my favourite birth was definitely Billy Ray, second time. Even though it was the most frustrating, for all the other non-gruesome reasons. But they were both cesarean sections.
Yeah,
as
that's
well.
Good because that yeah. gives us a bit of intrigue and diversity.
Yeah, completely. And so the first birth with Edie, I was just fully educated out with all the books. I had my plan, and we were going to saunter into the hospital, yeah. and I had my playlist sorted because obviously that's
the playlist is so important.
But you start with the playlist, you've got to get that's the most important thing.
Also, so you work in radio, so
yeah,
you know,
no, it was really
probably have released that afterwards.
I guess it's good, but I tell you, it was really funny.
You too can give birth to the tunes selected by Emma B.
I had the radio on. I was at Radio 1 at the time, and I had the radio on during about the 95th hour of labour, and Sarah Cox put on Salt and Pepper's Push It for me. She was like, go on, Emma, go on, babe. We're rooting for you. We're rooting for you, Salt and Pepper. Ooh, baby, baby, Push It. I'm just going,
Did it do any good?
I can't just about remember. No, not really. But it was that, because it was the first one, I just thought it was going to be all okay. And then I got preeclampsia I'd gotten for a checkup. And I hadn't taken anything with me. I think I was probably going to go and have some lunch or something. Afterwards, I walked in. They went, you're not going home. You've got to go straight in. So I went straight in.
Without your playlist?
Without my playlist. Without my bag, without my playlist, without anything. Got well upset. And then I had to be induced.
Ooh.
And you know when people sort of do that thing where they say, what do they do? Like, do they stick a kneading needle up your fanny and like pop the bag? And they, yeah, that's exactly what they do.
I thought they just gave you a drug.
No. They had to pop my bag and they gave me a drug. So they had to pop my, what do you call it? They had to break my waters, which they did with something resembling a crochet needle, which came out of the bag that you get your knife and fork in on an aeroplane when you're eating aeroplane food. It was just a paper thing that they took out.
Do they give you any kind of nice drug to make you calm?
No, nothing like that. So they gave me, I had the drug to induce the thingy, then they broke my waters because at this point Edie was in distress, the baby was in distress, and then ensued 15, 16 hours of hell.
So the thing about induction, as I understand it, is that why people don't like it is because you're kind of going from 0 to 60.
In about a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, that hurt.
Yeah, so you're going from nothing to...
From nothing.
Fully...
No, from absolute... No, because this is... Because I didn't dilate at all. So my muscles at this point are doing all this work and nothing's happening. And the pain, and what it's all I remember. So I was at St. Mary's Hospital in Paddington, and I was in a room with three other women who had been induced. We were like wailing banshees. It was like literally all of us, all you could hear was people going, and just absolutely, my husband was beside himself. And all I can remember doing was that there was this like a tiny, really thin, oblong window. And out of that was a church over the road, and there was a fluorescent Mary.
Did you start to pray?
I was going looking at this like glowing red Mary from across the road at the top of this church, going, "Please help me! Please help me!" Like it's praying, thinking I've just got to concentrate on like Mother Mary. And the Virgin Mary will help me through. The irony. That was awful. And it was just awful. And at this point, I can see my sort of picture perfect birth disappearing. And that just went on and on and on. And by that point, I'd had drugs, legal ones. And although given the chance at that point, I really would have taken anything.
This is what we discovered in an earlier conversation, that pethidine is heroin.
I didn't know that.
I
knew it was bad, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, which I feel like I kind of missed out on the experience because I've had pethidine, but I don't remember it being cool.
Yeah, exactly. There wasn't any music and, like, you know, Ewan McGregor wasn't in it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't want to party.
I didn't want to party.
But apparently it's part of the same family, which...
But they all say to you, don't they? They say, don't have pethidine. Everyone's going, never have pethidine, don't have pethidine. And I'm like, why the fuck not? I mean, like, literally my legs have gone. I can't... I was so tired. I was completely off my face. And then about sort of 20, it was 2 days, and I was exhausted, and they kept coming. And at this point, you know, at this point as well, you've gone through 3 sets of staff on call.
So you've got no opportunity to build up a rapport.
No.
Because as soon as you do, they go off.
I'd had at least 27 people's fingers up my fanny by the time they arrived. Yeah. And you do get to that point where somebody just goes, can we check you? And you don't even look at them. You don't look at their face. I'm like, oh.
But also, I think, because I found that check, let's just see how far you are along. Not only did I find it utter agony every single time, but also that deflated sense of failure when they say, you've done all this, and you're like 2 centimetres dilated. And they kind of look at you as if you're useless.
Do you know what they call it? What? So do you know what I've been diagnosed with?
What?
An incompetent cervix.
That
can you
is
imagine
adding insult to
can
actual
you
injury?
Imagine if that was a condition that men had to deal with, that they would actually use the word incompetent.
Wow. I hope they didn't tell you at the time.
Yes, they did. You have an incompetent cervix. This is why we have to do a cesarean. Because your cervix is incompetent. You are incompetent of delivering this child.
Also, you'd think that they would find, if that was the case, that they would find out a way of diagnosing that before you go through all of that.
Completely correct. Yeah. No, they did that twice. It happened again with Billy. My incompetent cervix was incompetent again.
Okay, hang on then. So, if they knew you had an incompetent cervix... Let's give that airtime again. You and your incompetence.
I need a
Can
t-shirt.
Can you get it on a t-shirt? Why does that not exist?
With an arrow.
If they knew you had an incompetent cervix, then why did they let you try again? Why didn't they just say...
Oh, God, Beth, honestly, seriously, it was such nonsense. And then, I'm not very good at giving birth, basically. So on the set with Billy... With Billy, and I battled with this hideous GP who told me I didn't have a choice about, number one, where I didn't have a choice. He told me I didn't have a choice about where I could have my baby, which I said to him quite strongly, actually. And I said, please, can I have an elective cesarean because I got preeclampsia and I didn't dilate. And he said no. And then put me in touch, and at this point, and he put me in touch with this the group of oh God, what do you call them? Sorry, I'm getting tired. You can edit this bit out. what they called the antenatal clinic, the antenatal. So he put me in touch with the antenatal team and this very lovely woman who was obviously on a quota of natural births. Said, it's okay, don't worry, we'll take you through it, but there's no reason why you can't deliver naturally, which I wanted to have a go, but I was just like, there's no point because...
Well, I would have thought, you know, you either have an incompetence, it's not going to get competent, is it? Like, unless it learns?
Didn't go to lessons. Like, yeah, exactly. We're going to send you to the cervix college, the higher education college for incompetent cervixes.
Because I had the opposite thing, is that on the first time round... I tore really badly because I'm also...
Did you go like that?
Yeah. I'm also really bad at giving birth. And so the second time around, they wanted me to have a cesarean. And I had to jump through all sorts of hoops to try and have a natural birth, which, again, was a mistake. But I should be free to make our own mistakes.
Yes.
So it's odd that we kind of flipped.
It was just bizarre because I sat and talked to this woman for ages and she said it's okay. And what she was so very desperate for me to try and... deliver naturally, and I just said, look, I was so exhausted and battered by Edie's birth. It was so not, I can barely remember her being born, and I hate that. Hate that.
None of the euphoria.
No, God, nothing like that. I mean, you know, and then I was so bruised. I had a massive scar because they had to get her out really, really quickly. So
no time to be neat.
And Damien, bless him, watched and nearly passed out because all he could see was them pulling Edie's head out of my tummy and that kind of giraffe neck thing that happens when you take a baby out the wrong way out of your tummy.
There's a new thing now where they think that, I don't really understand how this works, but they think that it's healthier if you make the incision and like you let the baby crawl out on its own. Because it's more like
look
the
at
birth
my hands. I'm like
we're all
cringing
in on ourselves. But it's more like
is that a
vaginal
thing?
Birth.
Is that a thing?
A natural.
Yeah. That can't be a thing. Is that a thing?
I've heard that.
Where from, Beth?
article I read in a New Age magazine. And you should sing while you do it.
Well, this is it, because it was, well, we were living in Ibiza for a little bit while, and we've been going backwards and forwards, and in Ibiza, the whole Ibiza doula babies, you know.
Was there a chance that you might give birth in Ibiza?
Well, no, but I lost two as well.
Oh.
Between Edie and Billy. And at that point, I was pregnant for a little bit while I was there.
Mm.
And we did think that there was a chance. At that point, I'd been really sort of romanced by the idea of giving birth on a platform overlooking the sea with all my friends around me.
Is that actually possible?
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. And in fact, there was Davina McCall gave me a book once. Davina gave me a book once, which is it's very hippie and it's very new age and it's clearly not for everybody. But it's birthing platforms, having a birthing family, you know, out in the open air.
Which of your friends are going to watch this?
I don't know. But for a brief moment, after Edie was so traumatic, I was like, well, maybe this is a thing. Maybe I should try it.
I'm just questioning the wisdom of like having a plan with Edie. You know, your playlist.
Yeah.
And that going wrong. So you think, I know, I need a better plan.
Yes.
A bigger plan.
Yes.
I need a platform and a load of friends watching me.
We can hold hands and sing Nick Kershaw songs together. From the
90s. What a great idea.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I thought, oh, maybe it was that and I'll be over-medicalised and I just need to take it back to grassroots. And then swiftly realised after we lost our second that I needed to be looked after, which was why it was so unbelievably frustrating when I was then passed back to the antenatal team who insisted that I have a go naturally. And it was just a catalogue of being looked after really badly, you know, and actually it was, you know, there was one, I got to the end of my pregnancy with Billy and they wanted to kind of encourage it along and I went for a sweep. You know what a sweep is?
Yes, a cervical sweep.
A cervical sweep,
your
yeah.
poor incompetent cervix.
Yeah, babes. They took me for a cervical sweep And I went to this place.
Was he late?
Yeah, no, he was just, he wasn't late. It was just getting to that point and I was very pregnant and they were just like, well, should we just give it a go and see if we can move it along? But I wasn't late. It was one of those things. Anyway, this is going to sound really weird now that you've said that, because I ended up in a what amounted to an office building having a sweep from a doctor in a stationery cupboard. And because his
strong identify. I did part of my labour in a photocopying room in UCH.
Are you serious? Yeah. Are you serious?
They didn't have anywhere to put me, so I was in a photocopying room.
What the... It's insane. I was like, I couldn't open my hands. My arms were like this because there was a filing cabinet here.
Jesus.
And he was like, I'm terribly sorry, but we're in the stationery cupboard today. I'm like, could you please show me some identification? Because I'm starting to think this is not quite right. Like, literally, it was... So another man that I'd never met before in my entire life, with his hands in me...
What is a... How do you do a sweep? I don't want to know. But.
You literally, basically, but they literally try and get a finger up to, right to the top of your cervix, and it's painful.
Yeah.
Into your cervix as far as you can, just to kind of, like, sweep it to see if your waters will break.
Skin chimney sweep.
Skin chimney sweep. Yes, the skin chimney sweep.
Bloody hell.
Like that. They just literally do that to try and kind of stimulate some activity in your cervix in order for
your waters to break. I suppose it's better than the crochet hook, but not much.
You should see them. They come out of packets. And then I started my water. Oh, it was so funny. My waters broke with Billy while we were watching CSI.
I need a team to come in and clean up.
Watching CSI, I'm like that. Oh my god! but that helped. That happened normally, and I thought for a second it was going to be okay. And then got to hospital, and as soon as we got into the hospital, and the team of fantastic nurses there just went, what on earth are you thinking? Why on earth would you be? Why would you be doing this? And the woman, and I hope she had a really bloody bad day that day. The woman who said, I will be there by your side. She said, call me. I called her. She never answered the phone.
Oh my god!
And I got into the hospital, and they just went. They just went. You need to be on a high risk. In a high-risk room, you need to be monitored. The baby needs to be monitored. You're almost certainly going to have a cesarean section. We're going to set it up and just see how it goes. But if you haven't dilated because of your incompetent cervix in the next 6 hours, then that's what we're going to do. And that's what they did. So in that sense, it was much nicer than ED because it was controlled. And
yes, that's what's come up a lot is the sense that no one's in control being the scariest thing about giving birth. And even if it is not going right and it's awful, if you get the sense that someone has a bigger view of the whole situation and is in control, then you can feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, 100%. And that's, I think going back to ED, my first, it happened so quickly and it happened so quickly that I went from, sort of being, having my pulse taken and the doctor's, just going for a general checkup, to being so, I can't remember the last 12 hours. Yeah. I literally can't. And I feel so bad about that. I felt really cheated about that with ED. I felt, that I hadn't done something right and that I hadn't kind of fulfilled my potential, or that I'd let her down, I felt like I'd let somebody down by not being in control and not being more assertive, or that my body just didn't do.
But it's very hard to be assertive when you haven't got a clue what's happening.
No, I know. And people tell, and I come from a medical family, so my inclination is to believe them, which almost certainly is the right thing to do in most cases. And, the fact is that without the medical intervention, I probably wouldn't be here, and certainly my two children wouldn't be either.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of do that. But I think there was just that, and I remember having to say to my husband, because my mum was there and his mum was there after Edie was born, I had to say, I think I'm going to swear at somebody or say something really bad, because the morphine, I had so many painkillers. I didn't know where I was or what was going on.
And that come down afterwards. Oh, jeez.
It's absolutely vile. absolutely so horrible. Mm.
But I think there's also this idea, and it's probably a wrong one, that there's a sense that the birth is supposed to be wonderful and you are supposed to be on a platform with everybody applauding you for how great you are.
Yes.
And actually, it would probably be easier if everybody just said, you know what, it's not very nice. It's pretty awful.
I've said this so many times. I mean, I just said this so many times. And also, it's so brutal. It is brutal. But the point is it doesn't matter because you most of us are built to do this with some success. Mm-hmm. And the medical, you know, world is there to help make sure that, you know, you stay alive and so does the baby. And, you know, you end up with the things that are life-changing and wonderful. And that's okay. But if somebody had said, just chuck the fucking plan in the bin and go with what happens, you know, then, and it, yeah, it's going to be a bit shit. And, that, you know, the massive amount of blood that you lose that comes out like a big fart afterwards.
Yeah.
And I sat there, you know, you sit there and you go, I don't think this is right. I don't compress it.
But then you're like, what is right?
Because some of them right?
are. Yeah. But some of them are.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. But we are so bombarded, though, with information, aren't we? And so bombarded with books that tells you, this is how you should do it, or that's how you should do it, or this is what's likely to happen, and this, and this. There's every opportunity at every level for you to feel not in control, or I'm not doing the right thing, or I should be better at this.
Hmm. Or I failed in some way.
And I certainly felt like that after Edie. Certainly felt like that after Edie.
What would happen if you got a comedian in a room, you opened their Amazon account, and you look back at everything they've ever bought on that website? Well, this.
Because I was consuming so much peanut butter, I decided to try and get a powdered version that wasn't as fattening.
Your handwriting can change your life.
I regret this book. I regret this book.
Keep Calm and Love Dom Jolly novelty keyring fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that. I do have that on my fridge.
£4 you spent on that.
That's My Mate Bought a Toaster, available now from Great Big Al.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So to take you back to Billy, they kind of took control. And they, I mean, albeit going completely against the advice of all the previous doctors that you'd seen.
Yeah.
And said, right, we're going to do this for a bit. And then
if it's necessary,
we're just going to whisk you into a cesarean. Was that a more positive cesarean?
Yeah, it was. It was. I was wide awake. I hadn't had, at that point, I'd had a little bit of gas and air. But I hadn't had anything else. Obviously had the epidural for Billy. There was a moment where I had a bit of a cry when they were trying to, you know, when they tried, they put the, did you, oh, you had two vaginal births.
I've had an epidural.
You have an epidural. So, and you have to really bend over.
You have to crunch in on yourself and then you have to stay really, really still.
Yeah, exactly.
And the anaesthetist said to me, you have to stay still even if you get a contraction or I might paralyse you. Which was just what I wanted to hear at that particular moment.
That is astonishing.
Well, I mean, I guess it was true. I mean, I guess you wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true.
You would have thought we could have come up with something with a little less jeopardy, considering what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I did say stay still, funnily enough. So you have to have an epidural to have a cesarean.
Yeah. And it was, but it was that, and I had a bit of a cry then because it hurts.
Yeah,
and
you're, it's not nice.
And they're going, no, we can't get it in because they're injected, they're putting this massive needle into your spine.
Yeah.
And you have,
you
have a 9-month-old baby who is just about to come out, and you can't physically do it. And it was, and they couldn't do it, and it was. But what was great about that was that. Was that in light of my incompetent cervix that somebody just went, that's nonsense, we're going to do this, we're going to do it, you know, quickly, and we're going to do it quickly, and it was quick, and I was awake. The only thing that happened there was my playlist. the CD player didn't work.
And that was never meant to be.
It was never meant to be. I'm so annoyed. And like David came over and he says, down here, and you know, you're lying down, and he was here going, baby, the CD player doesn't work. I was like, I'm staring! I'm a fucking CD player! Where's my playlist like this? And it didn't work. I was almost tempted to say, well, you're gonna have to sing then, okay? Because I've worked this out.
Didn't you ring Sarah Crocs and go, yeah, like, exactly. Knock out,
babes, I need you.
All day.
Yeah, so that was the only thing. The playlist didn't work, and then Billy was born, and we weren't meant to have Billy. Billy was a miracle baby.
Oh.
Yeah, so we were told categorically that I wouldn't be able to have any more. So when he arrived, so despite the struggles, he was, it was amazing.
Oh, well, then it ended happily, which is.
Yes, it ended happily. After I was then, I was in hospital for about 24 hours, and I remember the lady coming up going, right, we need the bed, so could you call your husband? Could you go home now?
And feel better, please.
And feel better, please, if you get the next 24 minutes, because somebody is coming in. I was like, okay, fine. But I think...
Did you have a come down from the epidural fading? Because I had terrible itchiness.
Itchiness, terrible itchiness, and I was freezing cold.
Yes.
I was freezing cold.
Even though the hospital is really hot.
I was freezing cold, itchy, definitely low. I'd forgotten about the itchiness.
Oh, it was like nothing else. Loads of insects were crawling over my skin. I couldn't.
It was the weirdest thing. It was the weirdest thing. And Damien's my husband, Damien's dad. So Edie had come in. I was a bit boxed on the morphine, but I was freezing, and I had some shakes as
yes.
well.
Yes, oh yes,
yeah, you
terrible,
know,
terrible shakes.
Yeah,
and
I didn't really know what was happening, and I got a bit worried about that. And they said, no, that's the epidural. That's you know, it's essentially toxic shock syndrome, basically.
Yeah,
of everything coming out. But his mum and dad, his dad and his stepmom were in the room, and you know when you've got that you're sort of looking around like this and your eyes won't focus properly.
Yes.
And then Edie, who was five, came in and she was giving me a necklace and stuff. And I really didn't know what was going on there, but the light was shining in the window, and that was kind of nice. And that, so, you know, the physical kind of coming off it was, I got worried and scared that time that I can't remember doing with Edie. But that wasn't very nice, but seemed to pass quite quickly.
Yeah, I remember. I remember saying to my mum and dad, "I've gone blind. I couldn't see. One stage, everything clouded over, and I really couldn't see. And they were trying to get me to hold the baby. And I was just going, no, I can't, because I can't see. It's black."
But that's what I mean.
Which is really reassuring for everyone.
They have this thing where, like, literally, there's literally this bit where I was sitting there. This was after Edie, like I said, when I was completely off my face. And I literally just went, and I said, I think I'm going to swear. I think I'm going to I thought I was going to tell, like, one of my family members to that they were really fat, or that I hate.
Like you had a kind of Tourette's.
Like I had a sort of Tourette's, that I was going to say something really offensive. And I had to say, I'm really sorry, I think I'm going to say something really rude. Like this, and I didn't really.
Really odd symptom.
I know, it was bizarre. And I had a very, very strong sensation. I was just like, I'm going to say something really rude. I know I am, because I can't, like the you being blind, you just, your head's not working.
No, not at all.
It's just not working at all. And I did. I thought I was going to say something really, really rude. And I said it out loud, and they were all standing over there. And I was like, and I'm going to, either like Tourette's, either going to say something like, fuck off, you assholes. Or, like, I never liked any of your Sunday lunches. They're shit. and I said to Damien, I think I'm going to say something really rude. You're going to have to ask them to leave. That would have been me off the Christmas card list, wouldn't
it? And did he?
Yes, he did.
He ushered them out.
Oh, come on. They were in the room about, like, flipping 17 minutes after I'd given birth.
Yeah, that's
please
the other
go
thing.
Away.
People trooping in to look at you.
Yeah, I know. I've got a nappy on. I've got...
Oh, the nappy. Oh.
The nappies. I had, like 20 pads between my legs. The stockings on. Because, of course, that's the other thing, isn't it?
They also give you injections in your leg.
I can't remember that.
I didn't remember it until afterwards, but every now and then somebody would just appear and inject me in the leg.
I mean, stuff like that is ridiculous,
I don't know why.
Isn't it?
I can't.
It's ridiculous.
There was a good reason, and I think at one stage I knew what it was, but that's gone now.
I wonder if I did. I can't remember that bit. We had that bit. I mean, you know, when you sort of then do come round, and you've got drips and saline, and your blood pressure thing on your finger still, and I've got this massive bandage across my tummy, and I can't move. And we don't even need to go anywhere near what's going on with your boobs because they're just
a nightmare.
Hideous. And then bleeding from, I mean, I just felt like I had fluids coming out of every orifice.
Leaking everywhere.
Like a sinking ship. Yep. You know, it was just like one of those cartoon, you know, when the boat, they shoot a boat and the cartoon water comes out of the boat.
Yes.
I felt like I was like that. And every 2 minutes something would happen, like my boobs would start leaking. Or especially, oh my God, and there was this one moment with Billy. And it was in the middle of the night, and I'd woken up, and he was with me. And I had it wasn't placenta; it was a blood clot, but it was the size of a melon, and I'd literally just coughed, and my non-existent pelvic floor just went whoodum. And I swear to God, it was a blood clot the size. It was like a small cat. It was absolutely.
And was that an okay blood
clot? That was okay. Well, I panicked because I was just like, I'm sure I'm about to faint now or die because that doesn't seem right at all. And I pressed the button. She came in. She went, no, it's okay. It's very normal. I'm like, okay, fine. Tell me about these things, please.
Ooh.
And it just sat there and I was like, fucking hell, what am I going to do? Oh, that
and,
was
of course,
horrible.
In the midst of all of this, you're supposed to be looking after a small baby.
Yes, with a smile on your face.
Yes.
With music in the background.
No fucking playlist.
It's almost a reason to do it again.
Could you do it a bit like, you know, when you renew your vows, which isn't real? You sort of stage a birth.
Oh, my God, that is such a good idea.
Without actually having to give birth because it's horrible.
That's so funny.
And maybe
please,
you
can I put
a
cushion? Can I put up a cushion? And we do the I would have to have a cushion, though.
Yeah, cushion, the platform.
The platform.
And
do you know what?
Friends
I bet that's a thing somewhere.
Somewhere
that's
you
a thing.
You too can have the birth that you've always dreamed of.
Reborn,
it's
yes.
It's just reborn. It's just not real.
It's just not real. I mean, that's a win-win, isn't it?
Yes.
That really is a win-win. You can be cathartically, you're screaming and get all that out. You can have your friends. You can have your playlist.
You could be rude to people if you
you
wanted to.
You can be rude to people.
You could even maybe have some light drugs.
I mean, when's the next? Like, when are we doing it?
This could be a new thing.
This is definitely a new thing. I see a business. I'm definitely up for that.
So, having been through everything that you've been through, what is the one piece of advice that you would go back and tell yourself that would make it easier?
Your cervix is wonderful.
You love
them.
Your cervix.
I love my cervix. the one thing I tell myself.
Or anyone.
Ask questions. I would like to have asked more questions. I think maybe it's so hard, isn't it? Because you're in this machine that just sort of rolls you, it's really difficult to kind of get any traction. You know, you feel like you're trying to grasping at trying to be in control and trying to ask questions and trying to be, you know,
but you don't want to
be an adult. You don't
want
to
be annoying.
You don't want to be annoying. And the people's, I'm going to be controversial, but the tolerance levels of some of the people that I've met on the way, the vast majority of people in the medical world are wonderful, but some of the tolerance of some of the people that I met was zero, you know?
You can be unlucky in those circumstances.
You can be. And I think actually is to just be more steadfast about your need for knowledge. So not necessarily sticking to a plan, because I think sticking to a plan or having, you know, holding on to that plan of what your birth will be leads to disappointment so many times. But being steadfast in your need for knowledge. So explain that to me. What happens then? What might I expect from that? And actually, you know, and also to minimise getting in that knowledge from the internet and books. Make your doctor tell you, because they're the people who are responsible. They're the people who are responsible. So you can, you know, there's a chain of responsibility then, so you can go back and say, well, hang on a minute, he said that this would happen and whatever. I think just be steadfast. Yeah, be more resolute in needing in people explaining things and what will happen next. What's the plan? What's the plan B? What happens if I have an incompetent cervix?
So that's quite a good motto for life, really. Ask all the questions, find out all the stuff.
Yes, and say yes to the drugs.
See, what I'm doing with these is everybody gives me their birth lesson. And I'm going to carve them all onto homeopathic crystals. And I'm going to gather all the crystals together. And then I'm going to crush them under a platform.
Yes!
Because when it comes to giving birth, we all just have to go our own way.
You have to go your own way. And make sure the bloody CD player works before you get in there.
Get the fucking playlist.
Yes, exactly. Oh, you could do that now because you can have it on iPhones and stuff. God, yeah,
you need the speakers. You're not going to have some tinny iPhone phone when you're giving birth.
Can you please put the bass up?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A pleasure and an honour.
I feel better. I am
urged.
So, we've got to do that. We've got to do that. That's really funny. The rebirth. She's back and she's pissed off.
Thanks for listening to One Torn Every Minute. If you enjoyed it, please rate and review us. See you next week.
Heavy Pencil, a new comedy from Great Big Owl, the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork.
The Observer called it a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
No. I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant.
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Great Big Owl. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.